Picture the software you use at your job right now. Like, you probably assume that the AI assisting your finance department is looking at the exact same operational reality as the AI helping your customer service team.
Right. I mean, you'd completely expect that.
Yeah, it seems like a fundamental requirement for a business to function, kind of like architects and plumbers looking at the exact same blueprint for an office building.
Exactly.
But today we are diving into a pretty terrifying reality, which is that they aren't looking at the same blueprint at all. Welcome to this deep dive.
Glad to be here.
So we're exploring a really fascinating analysis by Rob van Linde. He's a Dutch expert in agility, digitalization, and AI. And the text we're unpacking references this recent VentureBeat article that exposes a massive invisible fault line in modern enterprise architecture.
Yeah, the premise is startling, honestly. We are witnessing a total breakdown of shared reality across large organizations.
Wow.
And, it's happening entirely behind the scenes. It's baked into the very systems designed to make these companies more efficient.
So our mission today is to explore why different AI agents working within the exact same company are operating in completely different realities.
Right.
And more importantly, we are going to unpack the radical solution proposed to fix this mess, which involves giving AI a corporate constitution.
Which sounds crazy, but it's vital.
Yeah. So whether you are interacting with customer service bots, or maybe you're working at a company that is rushing to deploy agentic workflows, or you're just trying to survive the enterprise AI revolution, you really need to know if the machines running the show actually agree on the rules of reality.
Because right now, the evidence suggests they absolutely do not. And when those machines don't share the same reality, the consequences transcend simple technical glitches.
Right, it's bigger than that.
Much bigger.
Yeah.
We are looking at systemic, compounding business failures.
Okay, let's unpack this because we need to clearly distinguish what we're talking about here. I mean, our listeners are pretty well versed in the standard pitfalls of generative AI.
Sure, the usual stuff.
Right, we all know about basic LLM hallucination, like a chatbot confidently making up a fake historical fact or citing a non-existent legal case because of a probabilistic error.
Right, text generation gone wrong.
Yeah. But van Linde's analysis focuses on a completely different, much more insidious crisis.
What's fascinating here is that the VentureBeat article terms this phenomenon institutionalized hallucination.
Institutionalized hallucination. That's a heavy phrase.
It really is. And to understand why it happens, we have to look at how enterprise AI is actually being deployed today. Because we're no longer just dealing with passive chatbots waiting for a human to type a prompt.
Right.
Organizations are deploying autonomous agentic AI. These are systems running continuously in the background. They're making API calls, reading databases, and executing actions across finance, operations, customer support, the supply chain, you name it.
And companies aren't just buying one giant omniscient AI to run everything, right?
No, not at all. They are buying specialized agents from different vendors.
So the finance team licenses an agent fine-tuned on accounting software.
Exactly. While the support team licenses an entirely different agent built for CRM platforms.
And that's the problem.
That is the architectural flaw creating this entire crisis. Because these agents come from different vendors, or they're built on different base models, they have completely different internal interpretations of core business
They
concepts.
literally don't speak the same language.
They do not share a foundational vocabulary. The text highlights a brilliant, but frankly alarming, example regarding how different departments define a customer.
Oh, this part was wild.
Right. So to an AI agent working in customer support, a customer is an individual human being. It looks for a specific contact name, a phone number, and an email address.
Which makes perfect sense for a support bot trying to resolve a ticket. I mean, you want it to talk to a person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the finance department's AI agent is operating in a totally different paradigm. To that agent, a customer is strictly an account-level entity. It is a corporate billing ID.
So they're not even looking at the same type of data.
No. And the divergence gets even more dangerous when you look at operational triggers. Take something as simple as an order status.
Okay.
The supply chain AI agent is programmed to believe an order is active right up until the moment it ships out the warehouse door.
Makes sense.
Once it's on the truck, that agent classifies the order as complete and just moves on. But the accounting AI agent believes that exact same order is active until the final payment clears the bank.
Which could be what, net 30 or net 60 days later?
Exactly.
It's like a chaotic restaurant. Like the kitchen staff thinks an order is complete the second they put the food on the plate under the heat lamp.
great analogy.
Right. But the waiter thinks the order is complete only when the customer actually finishes the meal and pays the bill. So everyone in the restaurant is doing their job incredibly well based on their own isolated definition of success.
But the system as a whole is quietly tearing itself apart because their realities are out of sync.
Yeah.
And your restaurant analogy highlights the most dangerous aspect of this, which is the invisibility.
Invisible failures.
Yes. When traditional software breaks, it is obvious. A server crashes, an application times out, a database throws an error code.
Yeah.
But institutionalized hallucination produces outputs that look totally plausible to human managers.
So the dashboards all look fine.
The supply chain dashboard glows green. The finance dashboard glowed green. The agents are processing data at light speed, but they are building a multi-million dollar house on completely incompatible foundations.
Because nobody programmed these different agents to disagree with each other.
Right.
But the really chilling realization from the text is that nobody told them to align either.
No one. So they are failing quietly. Because these agentic systems are making thousands of micro decisions every single minute, these tiny ontological misalignments, they compound exponentially.
Give me an example of how that compounds.
Think of a decentralized network where one node is programmed to round financial calculations up to the nearest cent and another node rounds down.
Okay, a tiny difference.
Very tiny. For the first few thousand transactions, no human auditor would ever notice the discrepancy. But at the speed of modern cloud computing, millions of microtransactions happen a day.
Oh.
Within a week, the enterprise ledger drifts by millions of dollars. And it's mathematically impossible to untangle the knot.
Yeah.
Because both nodes were executing their local logic perfectly.
So if the code itself isn't broken, like if the AI agents are technically doing exactly what their specific vendors designed them to do, then we're looking at a much deeper root cause here.
Definitely.
You can't just issue a software patch to fix a fractured reality.
No, you can't. And Rob Van Linde argues this point forcefully. This is not a technology problem. It is a constitutional problem.
The constitutional problem.
Yes. It comes down to a foundational question that companies must answer before they map out a single automated workflow or, you know, sign a vendor contract. The organization has to answer. Does it know who it is?
Okay, wait.
And Van Linde means that in a highly practical, operational, machine-readable sense, not just a philosophical one.
Yeah, I'm going to push back on that a bit. Because when you say an organization needs to know who it is, my mind immediately goes to, like, a cheesy corporate mission statement.
The poster on the wall.
Exactly. We have all seen the poster hanging in the break room with a picture of a mountain climber that says synergy or relentless customer obsession.
Right. Yeah.
And we are all conditioned to ignore that corporate fluff because it rarely dictates how a business actually operates on a Tuesday afternoon. So why does a super smart neural network processing supply chain logistics need to know our corporate values?
Your skepticism is entirely justified. I mean, it is a hurdle many technical leaders face. Human employees can safely ignore a vague break room poster because humans possess intrinsic common sense.
We know what they actually mean.
Right. We know how to navigate unwritten rules. But Van Linde introduces a framework here called Human Before the Loop, or HB4L.
HB4L, got it.
And it centers on a concept called Orge DNA. To understand why Orge DNA is not just a motivational poster, we really have to lean into the biological analogy presented in the source material.
Okay, so we are mapping cellular biology onto enterprise software architecture.
Exactly. Think about it. Biological DNA is present in every single cell of a living organism. Now, your DNA doesn't consciously direct every single action you take.
Right. It doesn't explicitly tell my hand to reach out and pick up a coffee cup.
No, but it fundamentally shapes every single behavior and structural capacity you have. It acts as an invisible, omnipresent infrastructure. You never see it operating. But if the DNA is flawed or mismatched, the entire organism breaks down.
And so the AI agents are like the individual cells in this corporate organism.
Yes. Orge DNA works the exact same way for a company's digital ecosystem. It does not dictate the specific granular task an agent performs that is still the job of the software's core programming.
Okay, so what does it do?
Instead, Orge DNA tells the agents how to think when they encounter ambiguity. It travels with every agent deployment across the network. It takes your organizational risk tolerance, your ethical boundaries, and your absolute non-negotiables.
The actual core rules.
Right. And it encodes them into a format that every agent, regardless of its vendor origin, can receive and reason from consistently.
So if a company skips this step, like if they just buy off-the-shelf agents and plug them into their network to save time and get some immediate ROI, they're basically creating an organism with mismatched DNA.
Precisely.
The finance cell and the support cell are just going to go to war with each other.
But Telly, when you introduce autonomous agents, you are creating a team of non-human workers that will make discretionary decisions at machine speed.
Yeah.
If human leadership hands them vague ambiguity, the AI will not just sit there confused waiting for a manager to clarify.
It's just going to guess.
It will operationalize that ambiguity at scale. It will fill in the blanks using whatever statistical weights were baked into its foundational training data.
Which has absolutely nothing to do with your specific business model.
Exactly. And that is the exact mechanism that generates institutionalized hallucination.
Okay, so org's DNA is the cure for these compounding invisible failures. It is the mechanism that creates a shared reality. But how does a massive, complex enterprise actually get it? I mean, you obviously can't just call up a consulting firm, hand over a corporate credit card, and say, hey, we would like to purchase one unit of shared reality, please.
I wish. No, the honest truth from the text is that acquiring org DNA is intensely difficult. It cannot be outsourced to a vendor.
Wow.
And more importantly, the source material reveals that a significant percentage of organizations are simply not ready to write their org DNA. They have to pass a test first, which Van Linde calls the readiness gate.
Here's where it gets really interesting. You are telling me that an impending, highly advanced AI deployment is essentially forcing human executives into mandatory corporate therapy.
Basically, yes.
Like, before they are allowed to install the tech, they have to hold a mirror up to themselves.
It forces a moment of absolute, uncomfortable honesty. The readiness gate is structured on a traffic light logic. Before any technical design work begins, the leadership team must demonstrate they can articulate their organizational identity, vision, and operational values with total alignment.
And if they do?
If they can provide specific, coherent detail that everyone in the C-suite actually agrees on, they get a green light. The design phase can officially begin.
But I imagine a lot of leadership teams think they are completely aligned until you force them to write it down as a rigid rule set.
Oh, absolutely.
So they end up in this purgatory where, you know, the CEO wants aggressive, frictionless expansion at all costs, but the CFO wants strict risk mitigation and cost cutting. I assume that conflict halts the AI deployment.
That puts them squarely in the amber zone. It means there's partial clarity, but significant operational gaps remain.
So they have to fix it.
Right. Foundational alignment work has to happen first. The human executives have to sit in a room and resolve their conflicting priorities before a single line of code is integrated.
Okay, so that's amber. And then there is the red light.
Yes.
Which must mean the rollout is completely dead in the water.
A red light means no coherent organizational identity exists at the leadership level. The executives are entirely misaligned, or their business model is in a state of chaotic flux. The absolute rule of the readiness gate is agentic deployment should not proceed, period.
The multi-million dollar tech initiative literally gets vetoed because the C-suite doesn't know who they are. That has to cause incredible friction in a corporate environment.
Oh, the text points out a massive red flag regarding this exact dynamic. In practice, executives constantly try to postpone this conversation.
I bet.
They ask for three more meetings to discuss it, they decline external support, or they defer the vision entirely, claiming there are urgent, market-driven priorities that require immediate AI implementation.
Like, we are losing market share, we must launch the bots now, we will figure out our core identity later.
Exactly. But the hard truth is that if a leadership team cannot align on a shared reality without deflection, the AI agents will simply inherit and amplify their dysfunction.
Wow.
To quote the source directly, a foggy org DNA produces foggy agents at scale.
That's a great line.
It really is. A foggy executive board is a liability, but a foggy executive board operating through thousands of autonomous AI agents making financial and logistical decisions at the speed of light. That is a recipe for total operational collapse.
So passing this readiness gate isn't just some bureaucratic HR exercise. It is the defining moment when a company finally treats its agentic future with the gravity it requires.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's follow the optimistic path. A company survives the corporate therapy, the executives align, and they get a green light at the readiness gate.
Great.
How do they actually engineer a corporate soul from scratch? Because as we discussed, you can't just hand a large language model a PDF of the employee handbook and expect it to magically understand the nuances of your business.
No, you can't. The text outlines a highly structured five-step progression called the ORGE DNA design routine.
Five steps.
Yes. It starts at a high conceptual level and systematically drills down into machine logic. Step one is, who are we? This establishes the foundational vision and mission, basically the core reason the organization exists, independent of any specific technology or temporary market trend.
Right, setting the bedrock. But the real challenge must be moving from that philosophical bedrock into operational reality.
That happens in step two. How do we think? This defines the decision principles, the priority frameworks, and the ethical boundaries.
Okay.
It answers the most critical question in autonomous systems. What guides your judgment when no specific hard-coded rule applies to a situation? The author notes this is actually the hardest step for human teams to complete.
Really?
Yes, but also absolutely the most valuable.
Because you are basically giving the AI a compass for discretionary thought. I mean, you cannot possibly write a manual covering every single supply chain anomaly or customer complaint in the universe. So you have to teach the machine how to weigh competing variables on its own.
Exactly. And from there, step three is, how do we act? These are the behavioral standards and, crucially, the escalation instincts.
Escalation instincts.
Right. It defines the parameters for when an agent should attempt to resolve a complex issue autonomously versus when it must immediately flag a human manager.
That's super important.
Yeah. Then step four is, what do we protect? These are the absolute non-negotiables, okay, the glass walls that no agent is ever authorized to break, regardless of potential efficiency gains or, you know, intense competitive pressure.
I want to zero in on the final phase, step five, which the text calls translation, because this is where the entire concept either succeeds or falls apart.
It is the crux of the whole thing.
How do you mathematically define a vague human concept? Like, put the customer first. Human language is inherently messy and subjective. So how do you turn a high-minded ethical stance into deliberate, machine-readable instructions?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you have hit on the central engineering challenge of agentic AI. The text explicitly warns that ambiguous language produces ambiguous agent behavior. Step five is about converting those human values into system prompts, reward functions, and penalty weights. Let's look at your customer first example.
Okay.
If you just feed that phrase into an AI, a supply chain agent might see a minor shipping delay for a $10 replacement part.
And it might authorize a $10,000 overnight freight flight to fix it.
Exactly. Mm. Technically, the agent put the customer first, but it completely violated the company's financial realities.
So translation requires establishing literal system constraints, like customer first has to become a specific algorithmic boundary.
Yes. You translate it into a precise parameter, something like, in the event of a shipping delay, the agent is authorized to automatically approve up to $50 in expedited shipping fees without human intervention, prioritizing delivery speed over profit margin up to that specific threshold.
Got it.
Any cost above $50 requires human escalation.
See, that is deliberate, simple, and agent-readable.
And here is one of the most remarkable details from the source material regarding this translation process. This entire org DNA framework was actually co-created with Claude.
Wait, really? An advanced AI was used to help write the constitutional rules that will govern other AI agents.
Yes. The developers recognize that human beings are terrible at spotting the logical loopholes in our own language. We use idioms, we rely on assumed context, and we write contradictory policies.
All the time.
So they utilized Claude to audit the human language, spot the ambiguities, and help architect those high-minded ethics into precise, unambiguous rules of engagement.
Oh, wow. The recursive nature of that is incredible. We are using a large language model as a specialized translator to turn our messy corporate jargon into airtight logic.
Yep.
Just ensuring that the autonomous enterprise agents don't accidentally bankrupt us due to a misunderstood metaphor.
It is the ultimate bridge between human intent and machine execution. And once that translation is complete, the ORGE DNA is encoded and ready. But there is one final non-negotiable roadblock before a company flips the switch and lets the agents loose on the live network.
What's that?
The text calls it the constitutional gate.
Another gate. This entire framework is heavily fortified.
It has to be. This gate serves as the ultimate governance failsafe. The text establishes an uncompromising rule. ORGE DNA is never owned by the IT department, and it is never a vendor deliverable.
Okay, who owns it then?
It is owned by the organization itself. It must be authored by the people who carry the founding vision, and it must be ratified by the operators across every department.
Makes sense.
The constitutional gate dictates that no agent goes live on the network without demonstrated, tested alignment to the ORGE DNA. This is the exact moment where the philosophy of human before the loop is realized in practice.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? Take a moment to reflect on your own workplace. Think about the sprawling digital systems, the automated workflows, and the vendor software you interact with across different departments every single day.
It's everywhere.
Are those underlying systems operating from the same unified blueprint of reality? Or are you already experiencing the friction, the data drift, and the quiet chaos of institutionalized hallucination?
It is a critical diagnostic lens for anyone navigating this technological transition. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this raises an important question.
Yeah.
If introducing autonomous AI forces human beings to finally sit down and translate their unspoken corporate values into literal, uncompromising machine code, what happens when companies discover that their actual operational values are completely different from what they have been telling themselves all these years?
Wow, the ultimate corporate mirror. If the AI is hallucinating a fractured reality, it is only because the humans building the house were reading from different contradictory blueprints all along. The machines are just exposing the cracks we learned to ignore. Well, we will leave you to ponder that paradox. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.